Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Yes, hello. Welcome to the Lawmaster broadcast. I'm your host, Tommy Hart, Lawmaster. In this episode, Tommy Hart, expert on the content of the Authorized Version Bible, sets forth several no man statements and gives a conclusion concerning the Vatican's use of the no man appellation. From there, he will render the Vatican's eye-opening conclusion on its own religion. The conclusion comes from the book of James. Do not miss it. Next, he will bring forth some papal disclaimers having to do with Godship, Lordship, Christship. This is definitely must-know information. A picture is worth a thousand words. Mr. Hart will present a word picture which the Vatican has hid in the Authorized Version Bible, showing the papal law which stripped Africans of their humanity, declassified them, and gave Gentiles, white people, the legal right to capture, buy, and sell African people as slaves. This is a real eye-opener. Announcement. The personality that the Vatican has called, expected, planned for, and talked much about in the Authorized Version Bible has come. He is here on the earth where no man is. In the Authorized Version Bible, no man may be written no-man. That's N-O-M-A-N, which is a secret designation the Vatican uses for God. Again, welcome to the Law of God broadcast. We have much information to give out this morning, so we will get right with where we left off the last time. And the last time we were speaking about no man, the no man appellation. I will set forth several statements wherein the appellation, no man, is used. I remind you, as we said the last time, of 2 Samuel 17:19, which says, this thing was not known. Now, this thing, the appellation, the no man appellation, was not known until this time. What do I mean? In the Authorized Version Bible, there are many statements wherein the phrase or the term no man is used. Many people think, even scholars, think that no man means nobody, no one, no person, etc., or the like. But no man, we will see, has a specific function, and so we will begin with the stating of several no man statements. The first one, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, which says, no man should be moved by these afflictions. The important part of that statement is no man should be moved. No man should be moved by the things he has seen in the Authorized Version Bible. Things such as the law of the curse that has descended from the Vatican. The law of the curse, and I've said before that the curse could be substituted for the term objectives. The objectives which the Vatican set forth in Bible content, the same objectives the Gentiles, commonly called white people, took up these objectives at the word of the papacy, and they conquered Africa and its inhabitants and scattered many of the blacks or Africans throughout the Gentile world or among the Gentile nations. Another thing is the law of the Passover. No man should be moved by the things he has seen in the Authorized Version Bible. He has seen the law of the Passover. In the law of the Passover, the Vatican instructs the Gentiles to be silent on things having to do with truth and reality in Bible content. The Gentiles are commanded in the Passover law to be silent, to be still, to follow the papacy and the Vatican as they themselves are still, they are silent, when it comes to truthful things in Bible content and things that are real, having to do with real life. Another thing no man has seen and is moved by is the law of liberty, the law of liberty. With the law of liberty, the Vatican commands the Gentiles to free or emancipate their slaves. So with the law of the curse or the law of the objectives which have come from the Lord, the Gentiles, the Lord at that time, a reference to the Vatican, instructed the Gentiles to what? Enslave the Africans, okay, by the law of the curse. And by the law of liberty, the Vatican commands the Gentiles to emancipate the slaves. Both of these laws are past laws. Of course, the law of the curse has been canceled. The law of liberty has not been canceled. And it is the will of the Vatican that the law of liberty never be canceled. Okay? The law of the curse, of course, has been canceled. We know that. Another thing God has been caused to move is the law of God itself, the law of God. The law of God part one and the law of God part two. These things, upon seeing and learning these things, God has been moved. He has been moved to act, to do certain things. All right? I was trying to think of another thing which God has moved God to act, which would be the law of the promises concerning God that has descended from the Vatican. The Vatican has placed in the Authorized Version Bible the law of the promises of God. We have also the writ, writ concerning all things that has descended from the Vatican. The writ is taken from Bible content. And by these things, the writ, the law of the curse, the law of liberty, the promises concerning God, the law of God part one, the law of God part two, the law of the Passover, and other things, I have been moved. And in moving, I have further scrutinized Bible content, found out Bible content, and documented my findings. And my findings are documented in the book of the law of God. The book of the law of God, all things the demonstrated power of God. I have been moved by such things as those I have just named. No man should be moved, okay? Another statement having the term or the appellation no man in it is found in 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2, which says, no man understands him. No man understands the word of the Authorized Version Bible that has descended from the Vatican. No man understands him. No man understands the papacy and how it has operated in setting forth the Authorized Version Bible. No man understands the things that are found, that he has found in the Authorized Version Bible. No man understands him. 1 Corinthians 2:11 is another no man statement saying, the things of God knoweth no man. The things of God knoweth no man. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Okay, now we can turn that statement around. We can ask the question, do things know anything? Because the statement says, the things of God know no man. Things have no knowledge. They cannot know anything. So we turn the statement around to where it says, God knoweth the things. No man knoweth the things of God. No man knoweth the things of God. And let me say this. I just recently learned that in the New King James Version Bible, that statement is turned around, just like I have just said. It is turned around where it makes sense, saying that, of course, the New King James Version changes no man to no person or something like that, and in essence says no person knows the things of God. But I retain the no man term because it is an appellation having to do with God. And the statement, you know, should read, no man knoweth the things of God. No man knoweth the things in Bible content in the Authorized Version Bible that have to do with God. No man knoweth the things in the Authorized Version Bible that have to do with God. Okay? I know the things in the Authorized Version Bible that have to do with God, and I have set those things down in the Law of God parts 1 and part 2. But those are not the total items that make up the law of God. In the law of God, you also have the promises concerning God. You also have the writ on all things, because the writ on all things is written to be received by God, and in that writ concerning all things, that writ off all things, the Vatican gives crucial instructions to God. Of course, though, that writ is also found in my book, the Book of the Law of God. All of these things go up to make the whole law of God. All those things go together and work together to produce the complete law of God. So we have no man should be moved, and no man has been moved. I have been moved to act. I do. No man understands the Vatican, the word that has descended from the Vatican in the form of the Authorized Version Bible. I understand the things in the Authorized Version Bible. No man knoweth the things of God. No man knoweth the things of God. I know the things of God the Vatican has hid in the Authorized Version Bible. Another no man statement is found in John 3, verse 32. 3:32. No man receives his testimony. No man receives his testimony. Who has testified in the Authorized Version Bible? The Vatican has testified in the Authorized Version Bible. No man receives his testimony. I have received the testimony that has come from the Vatican, and that testimony is set in the Authorized Version Bible. Of course, it is not set line upon line, so it cannot be read accessibly. What I have done, I have collected the fragments that make up the testimony. I've taken those fragments from the Authorized Version Bible, compiled them, and put them in a sensible, logical form, thus producing the Law of God, the Law of God part one and two, and all the other things such as the promises concerning God, the writ of the law concerning all things, et cetera, et cetera. No man has received his testimony. I have received the testimony that the Vatican has set in the Authorized Version Bible. I have even received the testimony the Vatican has set in the Authorized Version Bible concerning myself. All right? Because in the Authorized Version Bible, the Vatican speaks much. He speaks at length concerning the individual who does this work with the Bible, as I have done. The Vatican speaks much about me, to be clear. Okay? To be clear, the Bible speaks very much about me. Okay? About the individual who does the work that the Vatican has set down in the writ concerning all things. All right? And like I said, that writ can be seen and read line by line in my document, the Book of the Law of God. All right? No man receives his testimony. What is the definition of testimony? Testimony is any affirmation or declaration, any form of evidence, indication. Testimony is proof. And in my dictionary, it has the synonym for testimony is proof. In my document, I have the proof of God, the proof of God, among many other things, of course. Now, another no man statement is found in John 3, verse 2, which says, no man can do these miracles. No man can do these miracles. What miracles? Those miracles are listed. They are set down in the writ concerning all things in my document that can be found in my document. Writ concerning all things, and in that writ, you will see the miracles that this statement, John 3, verse 2, speaks about, saying, no man can do these miracles. I have done those miracles that are stated, listed in the writ concerning all things that the Vatican has put out for God, has put forth with the intent that God will receive them. I have received the instructions that have come from the Vatican through the Authorized Version Bible. A miracle. No man can do these miracles. Miracle. My dictionary says about a miracle, a remarkable event or thing, an event or action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws and is hence thought to be due to supernatural causes, especially to an act of God. Now, we don't have, well, that's why you should get the document that I have, the Book of the Law of God. You'll see the miracles that are spoken of, and the miracles are doable things. How do I know that? I have done them. And the evidence, the proof of that is in my document, the Book of the Law of God. Now, if you notice, I speak about the Book of the Law of God much. Why? Because the book of the law of God is the answer to the Vatican's authorized version Bible content. It's the answer. It is the answer. The Bible, there's a statement that says faith without works is dead. I would like to read a statement, and I hope I have it handy. Let's see here. Okay, listen to this statement. The scriptures by themselves are unresolved and therefore incomplete. Listen carefully. The scriptures by themselves are unresolved and therefore incomplete. It is the fulfillment which gives to the scriptures the qualities of other qualities, wholeness, validity, and credibility. It is fulfillment which gives to the scriptures and credibility. The scriptures without fulfillment are dead. It is fulfillment which gives life to the scriptures. The scriptures are foundational. They are not the end. Fulfillment is the end which rests on the base of scriptures. Now that is a very important statement. A very important statement. Please, let me read it one more time. The scriptures by themselves are unresolved and therefore incomplete. It is fulfillment which gives to the scriptures the qualities, wholeness, validity, and credibility. The scriptures without fulfillment are dead. It is fulfillment which gives life to the scriptures. The scriptures are foundational. They are not the end. Fulfillment is the end which rests on the base of scriptures. The scriptures without fulfillment are dead. What a statement. What a statement. An astounding statement. In the Bible, you will read where it says, faith without works is dead. I have said, the scriptures without fulfillment are dead. Faith without works is dead. In Luke chapter 1, verse 1, the Vatican has instructed me to set forth a declaration of things believed, quote, among us, end quote. Those things that are believed constitute the faith of the Vatican, the faith of the Gentiles. Okay? What I have done in my document, I have fulfilled many scriptures have been fulfilled simply by writing. But in order to write the fulfillment of the scriptures, one must first, what, possess an understanding and an accurate understanding of the scriptures. Okay? The scriptures, the Vatican has asked for certain things to be done. When those certain things are done, then there is a fulfillment of scripture, whatever that scripture is, or those scriptures that constitute that request, make up that request, then when it is fulfilled, that's the end. That completes that certain part of Bible content, or that segment or that lump, that group of things, you know, found in Bible content. Fulfillment. I fulfill Scripture. All right? One little thing, just for an example, is this right here. In the book of John, you'll see the statement where the Vatican says, he wrote of me. The word of there meaning about or concerning. He wrote concerning me. He wrote about me. In my document, I have written concerning the Vatican. That's a fulfillment. That which I have written is a fulfillment of that statement where the Vatican says, he wrote about me. He wrote of me. That scripture is fulfilled in my document. Okay? And that's just one of many examples, okay, that I could give. But time does not allow me to do that. So, let's go back to the no man's statements and make a conclusion. No man is a reference to God. In the Bible, in the Authorized Version Bible, the Vatican uses the appellation no man in a reference to God. The Vatican uses the appellation no man in the Authorized Version Bible in a reference to the one who does the work that the Vatican has set down in the Authorized Version Bible. No man can be said to be, it can be said that no man is a nickname in the Bible for God. Did you get that? That's why it is important for this study here, and in order to really understand Bible content, it is important that you have an Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. The New King James Version won't do. I gave you an example a few minutes ago where they changed no man to no person or no one, something along that line. They took away no man. And as you can see from the things that I have said thus far, no man is a very important term. It's a very important appellation. It's a reference to God. Okay, so if you take away the no man and put no person, you're taking God out of the text. You're taking God out of the text. It is important that you have an Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. Okay, let's move on. So that's the conclusion on no man. And of course, there's a host of no man statements throughout the Authorized Version Bible, but I've given these few just to give evidence and explain them, showing that no man is a reference to a real individual and not something, not two separate words, no man, that can be substituted with no person, no individual, no one, etc. No man in the Authorized Version Bible is a reference to God. All right? And the and of course, God in the Bible is the one who does the work that the Vatican has set forth with the intent that God would receive that work. All right, so that's it for the no man appellation. That is it for the no man appellation. I want to read this thing right here. I wrote down a few notes. I think it's very important as we are still dealing with the prerequisite to the law of God. All of these things, what I'm saying, are prerequisites to the law of God. They are foundational things, okay, in getting a proper understanding of Bible content All right? Why? Why has God come? Why? At whose beck and call has God come? What's up with this God? What's up with it? All right? Well, let me answer that. By means of Bible content, God has been called by the Vatican. By means of Bible content, God has been called by the Vatican. They, let's see here. God has been called to a specific task. And that is by the Vatican. God has been called by the Vatican to a specific task. They, in the Authorized Version Bible, the Vatican, speaking in behalf of all Gentiles, has asked God to, or requested God to come forth and show himself. In the Authorized Version Bible, the Vatican has requested God to come and rule over them. In the Authorized Version Bible, they have requested God to come and take the leadership role over them, and that them being the Gentiles, all Gentiles. The Vatican, in the Authorized Version Bible, speaks in this regard in behalf of all Gentiles. Now, keep this in mind, that the Vatican, speaking for the Gentiles, for all Gentiles, the Vatican has called God, and God has answered. God has answered. I'm answering the Vatican's call even right now as I speak. Okay? The function of the glorious law of God. The function of the glorious law of God. The glorious law of God is set for the protection and defense of God. The glorious law of God identifies, names, and declares or announces God. The glorious law of God gives honor to God. The glorious law of God gives honor to God. The glorious law of God establishes God. The glorious law of God exalts God. And the glorious law of God empowers God. All right? So, keep in mind, the Vatican, speaking in behalf of all Gentiles, has called God to come. All right? To come, show himself, come forth, show himself, come forth, and rule over them, the Gentiles, come forth, and take the leadership role over the Gentiles. God has been called to a specific task. All right? That's very important to note. Very important. All right. So, moving on. I promised in my description to show this thing in the Bible, but before I get to it concerning the slaves there, let me give the conclusion to that which I spoke of earlier, maybe the last program or the last two programs. That conclusion that is to be found in James, having to do with the religion of the Vatican, the religion of the papacy, okay? And preceding that reading in James, let me set forth this information here. And as you can see, all of this stuff that I talk about, all of it is Bible stuff. It's pure Bible stuff. Okay, it's pure Bible stuff. Okay, it's not mixed with anything else. It's just pure Bible stuff. Bible stuff has come from the Vatican, Rome, Italy. So it is the Vatican's will that these things that I am setting forth and presenting be known. The Vatican has willed it. The Vatican has willed that God comes. The Vatican has willed that God gives specific information having to do with Bible content. All right? So, as a preface to the conclusion that is to be found in the book of James, hear these words. And it has to do with religion. Now, keep in mind this, that none of the things that I am teaching are taught in religion. And we can use another word for religion. We can say the church world, the Gentile church. We can say and use this word. I won't give that word, but let's just say religion, the Gentile church, the church world. You know what I'm talking about. You get the picture. All right? It is the Vatican's will that these things be known. The institution of religion is an unrighteous institution. Unrighteous. It does not teach truth of Bible content. And that's evident in the thing that I just said. The church world does not teach any of the things that I am teaching. The church world does not present the laws as the law of the curse or the law of the objectives that have come down from the papacy with regard to Africa and its inhabitants. The church world does not teach the law of liberty. The church world does not teach openly the law of Passover, et cetera, on and on. The church world does not teach any of the things that I teach. Why not? The things that I teach are truth. Real. Real. All right? The institution of religion is an unrighteous institution. Two, the institution of religion is an ungodly institution. Certainly, God would be for truth. Certainly. Certainly, God will be or would be for truth. For truth's sake. Three, the institution of religion is a deceitful institution. As I noted earlier, they don't teach any of the things that I teach. They teach things that are contrary to the things I teach. Therefore, they teach things that are contrary to the Bible itself. And the unsuspecting and unlearned and unknowing has no knowledge of it. No knowledge at all. They just hear and take in. And some of them, as my granddaddy used to say, what they hear goes in one ear and out the other. But still, they are linked up and connected with with religion. Okay? Four, the institution of religion is a vain institution. And you can look up the word vain. You can look it up. All right? So, the institution of religion is unrighteous. Institution of religion is ungodly. Let me say this. God is not a religious entity. God is not a religious entity. The information that I am presenting and that I present is not religious information. Where is the proof of that? As I said twice before, they don't teach any of these things in religion. They don't teach any of the things that I teach in the church world. Why? Because the things that I teach have nothing to do with religion. Matter of fact, the things that I teach are contrary and against the things the tenets taught in religion, just as the tenets that they teach in religion are contrary to the things that I teach. But you know what? There's one thing about that. They cannot give you proof for the things that they teach. I give proof of the things that I teach. And the things that I teach have to do with the real world, the now, the here, whether those things are past, present, or are, you know, to be in the near future, very near future. I teach real things. The Bible talks about real things. The church talks about made-up things, fictitious things, when it comes to Bible content. Somebody ought to say, I'm telling the truth. Huh? The church tells you to do something now, and when you die, you'll get something in return. But yet, we don't know of anyone who's come back to give us proof that there is anything such as life after death. In the Authorized Version Bible, the Vatican asks the question in the book of Job. They say, if a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? A real simple, direct question. And the Vatican gives the answer to that question in the same chapter and book, saying, man lieth down and riseth not. Okay? So in modern day language, the Vatican says, if a man die, will he live again? And it answer, gives the answer saying, man lies down and he does not rise again. Man lieth down and riseth not. That's the answer to the Vatican's question in the Authorized Version Bible, saying or asking, if a man die, will he live again? Man lieth down and riseth not. Isn't that something? So, God is not a religious institution. So when you hear me talk about God, don't think I'm talking about religion. I'm not talking about something up in the sky somewhere. When the Authorized Version talks of God, it is not talking about something up in the sky. All right? Someone may say, well, the Bible starts out saying, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Is that so? Yes, it does say that. Is that true? In order to determine whether it's true or not, you have to first know who the Bible is talking about when it's talking about God. Once you know who it's talking about when it's talking about God, then and only then can you determine whether or not that God made heaven and earth. All right? I have searched out the matter of the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. I have searched that. What I have done and the evidence I'm presenting has not been done before. We are 145 years post-enslavement at this time that I speak. And nothing of the sort of what I teach, nothing what I teach, as I've said before, maybe this is the theme for this program, has been taught or is being taught now, except by me, with the exception. Isn't that something? 145 years post-enslavement. And those who were enslaved have been going on with the same information that the Gentile slave master gave to the slaves who could not read and did not have a book. And if they had a book, they couldn't read because the Gentiles made the Africans, they made the slaves dumb by withholding knowledge from them. Isn't that something? Now, from that, we can go to Revelation 18, as I promised, to show this word picture here. We're giving out a lot of information today. Revelation 18. oftentimes, you know, people read the Bible and they just read over things. It's like they read over no man. No man can do these miracles, and they just keep right on reading. No person can do this thing. Don't look out. Have, you know, don't let me even go into that. Let me just stay with my outline. All right? Revelation 18. Someone has said a picture is worth 1,000 words. Sometimes you really don't have to do all that much talking. Just give a picture. And you know what? That's precisely what the Vatican did to the Gentiles. The Vatican gave the Gentiles a lawful picture. The Vatican gave the Gentiles a legal right to do something. Let's see what that something is. I know it was in the description. I gave it in the description. I couldn't hold it to myself. But anyway, Revelation 18, a picture is worth 1,000 words. I'm going to start with verse 11. Now, please listen carefully. A lot of times, you know, people go to church, and they know the preacher ain't going to say anything very important. So they just, you know, like get real drowsy when he starts talking, you know. He ain't going to say nothing much, you know. I really can't use what he's talking about, but I listen to it, you know. But anyway, please don't get drowsy on me. Don't get drowsy. Listen to this. This is what the Vatican wrote. You ever heard a preacher say that? That this is what the Vatican wrote? They say the Bible said, yes, the Bible says it, but who wrote it? That's the important thing. Who wrote what you're reading? If you don't know who wrote what you're reading, you're in the dark. You're in the dark. All right, let's read. Revelation 18:11. And the merchants of the earth, let's see here. Give me one moment, please. And okay, there's my page. I brought it back up. All right. I'm trying to get rid of something here. Okay. Let me say this. For those who would like to call in, the guest call-in number is, here we go, 718-664-6262. Guest call-in number, 718-664-6262. And also keep this in mind. You can see two links on the Law Master's page, on my front page, Law Master. You can click on those links, and, you know, one of those links, you'll get a YouTube presentation. Beautiful. Please click on it. The other one, you want to order the document, click on the link, and it'll take you step by step, you know, and for you to obtain your copy of the Glorious Law of God. But the links can be seen in the center column on my page, Law Master's page. All right? Click the links. Work the links, please. All right, here we go with the reading. We're reading law. Did you know that? We are reading law as we read this passage here. What have I said? What is fundamental? What is primary? The Authorized Version Bible is a law book. Fundamental, primary. It's a law book. We're going to read law. Revelation 18:11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. Did you see that no man statement in there? No man buys their merchandise? No man has to buy things in order to live, doesn't he? Yeah, God got to live. He has to wear clothes. He has to eat. Everything else. All right. Anyway, no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And wait a minute, slaves, wait a minute. Why do we find the word slaves there in this list of things that can be bought and sold? Don't just read over that. Why is it there? It is there because of what I just said. The Vatican set forth a lot of things that are bought and sold, that the Gentiles dealt in, you know, in their business, buying and selling. Wood, odors, you know, frankincense, perfume, and linen, and pearls, and all kinds of things. And then you also find that little word there hid deep in it, slaves. Slaves. We're reading law. Keep in mind, this is a law book. The Authorized Version Bible is a law book. We're reading law. The word slaves are found among a list of things that the Gentiles bought and sold. This is a legal permit. This permit right here, which I just read, let me finish, and slaves and souls of men. We can stop right there. All right? We can stop right there. Slaves found in the list of things that the Gentiles had legal right to buy and sell. This is a legal permit. All right? It has been canceled. Huh? The law of the curse has since been canceled. The enslavement era is over. We've come through it. We've come past it. But let's take a look back. The Vatican set this down, what I just read, that passage 11 through 13, the Vatican put that there, put that legal permit there, giving the Gentiles the legal right to capture, buy, and sell human beings, African human beings, people. You want to know, the Gentiles pride themselves in being a law-abiding people. They pride themselves in that. Well, they had a law that gave them the right to buy and sell Africans or black people as slaves. This is that legal permit right here. All right? Slaves are found in the list of things that the Gentiles had legal right to buy and sell. This is a legal permit. I don't mean to be repetitious, but I certainly mean to get my point over. I'm just not going to run past that as though I didn't see it. Huh? I see it there in my Bible. In my Holy Bible is written on the front cover of this book I'm holding in my hand. Holy Bible. I want to be heard today. That's what I want to be. I want to be heard today. And I'm not just going to read over that. That was very important to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, it's so important to the Vatican and the Gentiles, even to this very day, that they hid it. They hid it. And they got you trained, the average person who reads about, got them trained where they just read right over it. Doesn't have any effect on them. No man should be moved by these afflictions. I've been moved. I have been caused to act in response to the Vatican's word in the Authorized Version Bible. I have been moved. No man should be moved. I have been moved. As the Vatican has declared in the Bible, no man should be moved. I am moved. Are you moved? Are you moved? Does that bring a wow from you? Wow. Wow. I had to give a double wow because I'm astonished at that. I'm still to this very day, I've been knowing this, but I'm still astonished at that to this very day, reading this. Listen. and cinnamon and odors and ornaments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. You go to the grocery store, you go to the market, and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and excuse me, people. You should be moved by these things. You should be moved by these things. That's a legal permit which descended from the papacy, from the Vatican, to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles certainly used it. They certainly used it. They bought and sold slaves, as we all know. And this is their legal right right here. That gave them the legal right to do it. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. You should be moved. All right. Now, let's go to the conclusion found in James. Okay. Now, you can read more of that in the book of Ezekiel. Should I go there? The book of Ezekiel. Let's see what Ezekiel is talking about. Because Ezekiel has some things to say also about the same thing. Listen, Ezekiel 23, I'm just going to start at verse 25. Ezekiel 23:25. And this the word from the Vatican, remember, that's where these words have come from, the Vatican, to the Gentiles, okay? And I will set my jealousy against thee, and they shall deal furiously with thee. Didn't the Gentiles deal furiously with their slaves? Some deal furiously with us to this very day. But they dealt very furiously with their slaves. They shall take away thy nose and thine ears, and thy remnant shall fall by the sword. They shall take thy sons and thy daughters. Do you hear these words? African sons and daughters. They shall take thy sons and thy daughters, and thy residue shall be devoured by the fire. Think about Africa during the onslaught of the Gentiles against Africa and its inhabitants. The sores, the fire, the burning, the yelling, the weeping. Coming from the black people, of course. The voice of victory and joy coming from the Gentile armies. All right. They shall also strip thee out of thy clothes. Think about the slaves at the slave markets. How are they dressed? How are they dressed sometime on the plantation? All right. They shall also strip thee out of thy clothes and take away thy... All right. They shall also strip thee out of thy clothes and take away thy fair jewels. Thus will I make thy... Thus will I make thy lewdness to cease from thee, and thy whoredom brought from the land of Egypt. I've got to close this out. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will deliver thee into the hand of them whom thou hatest. It seems as though my time has gone. Don't forget to work the links that can be seen on my front page, my Lawmaster page. All right? Yeah, check the links out. Join me next week, next Sunday at 10:30 for another broadcast of The Law of God. The Law of God. All right? And as I said, work the links. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. And I didn't get to, turn the phones on because I thought that